We're going to be talking about here this particular hour, from humiliation to him, helping counselees with shame. And just by way of introduction, I think that you guys would all agree with me that shame, it is a powerful emotion. It can severely impact a person. You probably have experienced this in your own life when you have experienced shame, when you've experienced humiliation. Just listen to these words from Psalm 69, words that even resonate as we think about the cross. Answer me, O Lord, from your loving kindness is good. According to the greatness of your compassion, turn to me and do not hide your face from your servant, for I'm in distress. Answer me quickly. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor, and all my adversaries are before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am so sick. I'm looking for sympathy, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me my gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. The point being, at least, just by highlighting Psalm 69, that this shame is a powerful emotion. You can hear that coming through there. But also by way of introduction, I at least just want to highlight this hermeneutical point for us here this morning as we think about studying the Scriptures, even thinking through particular words and concepts, and remembering that we need to understand how the words are being used and meaning. We can't just do a quick word lookup and say, well, this is how we can categorize things. For example, if you just were to look at 2 Samuel 13:13, if you were just to look at that in various translations, you will notice that they're translating this particular word a bit differently. They're using the word reproach. They're using the word shame. They're using the word disgrace. They're using the word humiliation. So my point to all of us as careful biblical counselors in track four here for a moment is just to remember that we can't be simplistic when we're studying particular concepts. The same thing can be borne out in other passages, and I'm just using words of shame just to highlight how different translations translate words and ideas differently. You can see here when Paul is talking to them, not to speak to you will be put to shame. You can see how he's using the word shamed there. ESV is using the word ashamed, thinking about it just a smidgen differently. NIV's got ashamed, and then the NET, humiliated. So the broader point that I'm trying to make here is even dictionaries, as we look through particular words, they may not even be helpful as we study concepts, as we study emotions that our people may be going through. For example, just look at how various dictionaries and lexicons are trying to wrestle with particular words. Here's the definition of humiliate from Oxford: to injure the dignity. Is that what we're really talking about when we're only talking about this concept, this phenomenon that our people are talking about? Or as you've seen some of the translations using, reproach, casting blame or scorn on someone. And even when you think about how that was particularly used for the rape of Tamar that we mentioned in 2 Samuel there, who could get rid of my reproach? Is that really what she is describing in that particular passage as the word dictionary of the Old Testament defines it, or shame for the New Testament, one to bring disgrace on oneself by one's own actions? So my point here, just trying to make some introductory points as we think about helping counselees with humiliation, with this phenomenon of shame, is we just don't want to be too simplistic as we approach the Scriptures. As we search out answers for how to minister to these people, we can't just flip to the back of our Bible, look for the various uses of shame, and assume that we've got it all covered. That's not going to work. Thirdly, I just want to make by point of introduction here for a moment that a person who's experiencing humiliation may not always need to be confronted. There will be times when shame is happening because of sin, and that means that things have to be confronted, but that also may mean, as you guys know from your ministry to people, that they don't always need to be confronted. I make that point because of what we're going to be talking about here in a little bit, that the path away from humiliation is going to be a particular path, but that doesn't mean that path is full of confrontation. But one of the main points that I want us just to wrestle with here this morning then is that you have to do something with shame. You have to do something with humiliation. It's not an end. It is a path. It's a journey. You cannot choose to remain there. That's often where our counselees find themselves. They've stopped there. They've planted their feet. They live in shame. They live in humiliation. And the point is, if we study the biblical witness, that when we see people experiencing this, we see it in places like Daniel 9, they're experiencing shame, they're doing something with it. Or when Paul is shaming the Corinthian church, he's trying to do something. He's getting the shame to move them. We can even see here for a minute in Hosea, the more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me, I will change their glory into shame. The point is that there has to be action associated with it. But before we can talk about how are we going to help people, how do we minister to our counselees, let's just try to understand, well, what is it? What is it we're talking about? If we can't just look it up in the Bible, find all the uses of shame, of humiliation, if we cannot do that, if we have to resist simplistic schemes, then what is it? Let me just start by asking a question. Well, what is the opposite of pride? And I think, if you think about it in terms of a spectrum here for a minute, the opposite of pride is not necessarily, when you think about exaltation, it's not humility, it's humiliation. Take, for example, this very moment here. Let's say I came in here, I was pretty excited to deliver this lecture to you. I was boasting in my heart, I was excited, and this thing crashes and burns. What is going to be the emotion that I experience? I'm going to feel shame. And so I think that helps us to think for a moment that humiliation just lies on the spectrum of pride. On the one hand, you have humiliation. On the other hand, you have exaltation. Think of it as a spectrum here for a moment. That's where I think it finds its place. Thinking about it in that spectrum, then what is it? I get it, this is a wordy definition. It's always a challenge to try to button something down, but here's what I think humiliation is. We'll spend some time unpacking it here for a moment and why definitions are so important, but it is a powerful negative emotion that a person experiences when they judge themselves negatively for their inability to attain or retain certain objects that they find valuable. This judgment results in their perception of their social standing being lowered before the perceived or actual audience. I know that is a mouthful, but I do believe that we have to understand not only what it is, we have to work through those discernible aspects. If you have a counselee, somebody who is experiencing shame, you need to know what goes into it. What are the ingredients? Because if I'm going to help you, I need to think through those various pieces and to find out where do we need to work. So let's break that down here for a moment. First, I mentioned it's an emotion that is a product of self-judgment, self-assessment. That is what's happening. When a person is experiencing shame, they are self-judging, they're self-assessing themselves. We're constantly doing that all the time. You probably looked in the mirror this morning and you made a self-assessment. You made a judgment. I'm presentable today. I'm not presentable today, but I don't care. You made a judgment. And that's what's happening in the person who is experiencing shame. But more importantly, it's a judgment in some sort of negative way. As they judge themselves, they've concluded things are bad. They've weighed the evidence and things are bad. So I'm trying to build this sequentially here for a moment, and then I'll pause as we get to the end of the definition and just ask, okay, where did I lose you? I realize we might have lost you, so where did I lose you? It's a judgment of oneself in a negative way. Thirdly, I mentioned in the definition that there has to be an audience to experience this emotion. The audience can be one's self, but it generally has to do with the belief of an external perception of a person, meaning the audience can exist in your mind.